sin makes you susceptible. That's the point of this temptation. Because he is without sin. He is not susceptible to the temptations of the devil. It is, no servant can be greater than his master, but it is enough that he should be as his master. And I tell you, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than any man on the earth, because Christ is the least. And he is the greatest as well. Therefore, we all must be bookended by him. We all have to be in him. We have to come up to the measure of him. We have to be equal to him. And to some, that's blasphemous and strange, but that is the teaching of the New Testament. We have to grow up into Christ. And thankfully, God has got a gracious eye towards that on that one. Because for my life to somehow be equivalent to Christ's life, to me, seems impossible. And with me, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. So then he brings them to the pinnacle of a temple, of the temple. The peak of the temple. Cast yourself down from hence. And then he gives him a scripture. Ah, it's written. I didn't give you the quotes. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament there. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And then the other one, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Deuteronomy 6, 13 and 10, 20. And then here Satan's like, well, I can quote the scriptures too. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And to me, I've got another scripture that I think today is more fitting for believers. Jesus handled this admirably. You know, you don't tempt God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. God, if you love me, you'll save me. You know, somebody once told me, like Satan, they said, Paul, you know, you think you're God's elect? Well, then throw yourself in front of a bus. They told me that. It's on my website, the email. This Christian man who cursed at me and so on and so forth for criticizing a false teacher said, Paul, throw yourself in front of the bus if you're one of God's elect. And I have to admit, I felt pretty, you know, edified in that. Because I thought, boy, I'm getting things said to me that Christ was said to him, tempting him. I mean, not that I feel any temptation to throw myself in front of a bus. But see, there's a way in which people today have the same attitude. They are trying to tempt God. They stand on the pinnacle of the temple and are ready to throw themselves down and say, God, save me. And it comes from a sort of laziness. It's a shortcut. Instead of, you know, doing your ministry the hard way, and we're about to see how smoothly the ministry goes for Christ. He goes right to his hometown. Immediately they start rejecting him. You think about it. All the rejection he had to suffer at the hands of men, all the ignominy, his fame goes out. But at the same time, he gets a bad rap for it. You know, while many people praise him, there are many people who don't praise him. There are many people who go against him. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. This is talking about the word of faith. We preached faith, and I preach faith. And what is that word of faith? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there's some people who want to close the book right there. Oh, you know, to say that's it. That's really all you need to know. Just do those two things, and you're finished. Then you can pretty much go back to your life. Well, we don't say that, but you know what? That's what you end up communicating. And that's what a lot of people believe. That's all I have to do. And then I can go on sinning. Because, you know, you say, no, 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 but yes, yes, yes. This is the gospel that they have communicated. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice there's an unto there. It's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart you believe unto righteousness. Righteousness comes from belief. Righteousness is the effect of belief. Belief has an effect. Belief is not an end in and of itself, because belief never ends anyways. You know, you can't say, well, I believe, when did you get saved? Well, I believed in Jesus on March 13th, 2001, and that's the day I got saved. And there are some people who believe, well, now you're saved and you can never lose your salvation. Not that I think you can ever lose your salvation, by the way. But I would say that doesn't prove you're saved. Not to you. Now, God knows whether we're saved or not before the foundation of the world, because it's according to His purposes. Now, but from our perspective, when I make a confession, when I believe for a moment in time, that doesn't prove to me that I'm saved. I don't accept that as proof. And Peter made it very clear in 2 Peter chapter 1 what proof we ought to look for that we are saved. If you want to make your calling and election sure, you want to be sure about your salvation, read 2 Peter chapter 1. I do it all the time. In fact, I'll do it one more time. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, not one promise, but that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. It is through faith in the promises of God. Promises, what kind of promises? Promises that we will become righteous. Promise that He will deliver us from our sins. Promises that we will work the works of God. Those promises. The promises of salvation and the resurrection from the dead. By believing in these promises, we what? We may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's a promise right there, that you might be able to escape the corruption that is in this world through lust, the corruption that lust brings. And besides this, giving all diligence. Diligence means to use speed, to be active in something. Giving all diligence to this, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. There's nothing works about this. This is what faith is added to faith automatically. And these are promises of God that we have faith in. You know what I have faith in? I have faith in the promise of God that I can add to my faith virtue. It's not about me doing works. It's about Him doing works. I have faith that He promised He'll do a work in my life. And don't you dare say that salvation by works, because God's grace is what determines salvation. His choice, when He chooses you in Him before the foundation of the world, that's where salvation is written. That's where salvation begins. Not when I make a decision. It's before I'm born that He chooses me, that He ordains me. Election is about God electing. Not about us electing God, but about God electing us to salvation. Not He doesn't elect a way of salvation and then we jump on the bandwagon. That's nonsense. That's bunk. What it is God chooses men to be saved. That's the teaching of Ephesians chapter 1. That's what I'm alluding to in all that. But it's by faith that I add diligence to virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and